Good morning, Redeemer Church. It's so good to be with you all this morning. My name is Reed Pfeiffer, and this is my friend Eric Carden, and we are from the Central Arkansas area. So don't hold that against us. We're here to worship with you guys this morning. And if you think and believe that God's a faithful God, can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand and celebrate that truth this morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Sing it out. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. So remember your people. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Let's sing that part again. Remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Amen. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven's reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I see your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. He's enough this morning. Let's give him a hand. Amen.
Well, good morning, Redeemer. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome. My name is Pastor Forrest, and I would love to have the opportunity to meet you after this service. For the rest of you guys that are here, I've just got a couple of announcements that I need to just real quickly go over with you. The WOW group is Women in Worship, or Women in the Word, will be extending our time to play Bunko, followed by a catered lunch from Verona's. Bring $10 for lunch and make your food choice before Catherine starts. So Bunko is fun and easy, and even Pastor Forrest can do it. And Dawn bought some winner and loser prizes, so that sounds awesome. Hope Dallas has an explosion of Hill students coming to the Oasis every Thursday afternoon. They're getting Bible study and having fun. Last week, 35 students attended. Seth Henderson would like to serve a light meal like a sandwich, and we need to provide bottled water. We are completely out of water, so please help us in this important outreach. Talk to Don McCullough before she leaves. Don McCullough, before she leaves, if you are interested in that. God is doing some amazing things here at Redeemer right now. We have the Wow Women. We have the men's, the CCM, the men's group breakfast is coming up this next Saturday. We have the ABF that's meeting downstairs before the service. And right now, Don Ryan is going through the book of Ephesians. And I hear that he's doing an awesome job down there. Just a lot of great things that the Lord is doing here at Redeemer. And this morning is our last week of the celebratory worship encounter. So this is our fourth week. This Wednesday is super critical. Super critical. Everybody come. Wednesday night, we're going to have food. We're going to talk. And we're going to vote. I imagine most of you know all because I've talked about it like 5 million times. So if you would, look at the people around you and greet them this morning. Tell them that you're glad that they're here this morning and just be an encouragement to them. Take a couple minutes and then we'll start back into worship.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. In love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Thank You, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Come and bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
Encourage you, if you would, just to take a minute right where you're at, and just give God just kind of a private, very personal prayer of thanks. We've got so many reasons to give God glory, amen? Just right where you're at.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without You, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need You. Sin runs deep, Your grace is more. And where grace is found is where You are. And where You are, Lord, I am free. And holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need You. And every hour I need You. My own defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need. Teach my song to rise to You. When temptation comes my way, and
When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, Jesus. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Amen. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Sing that again. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. In every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. And you're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense. And you're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Amen. He is our one defense, amen. Our only hope of righteousness. I love this passage from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, which says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise be to him. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that, for Jesus this morning.
I'll greet the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living home. And hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Thank you, Lord. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion
declared the grave has no claim on me. Amen. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, you are my living hope.
God, we just want to bow before you this morning as we prepare to hear from your word and the sermon that you've prepared for us. And God, just say thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for this birth to new life and to a living hope that we have through his life and death and resurrection. God, paid the price for our sins. God, we stand in your church, a church named Redeemer. God, and we recognize that Jesus did just that for us. And we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all God's people said.
Amen. You guys may be seated. Parental guidance. This morning I want to talk to you about parental guidance. And I want you to know that the context is healthy parental guidance. And the reason I say that is because it's pretty obvious that through the ages, some parents have abused their power as parents and have done things that they shouldn't do. You may have been one of those parents sometime in your past, or you may have been the recipient of the abuse by a parent. And the reality is that what I want to talk to you about this morning is parental guidance. But I don't want to make it sound like someone who's gone through abuse by their parents, that's not a big deal, because it is a big deal. But what I want to talk about this morning is healthy parental guidance. So if your experience, either being a parent or receiving parental guidance, has not been healthy, I want you to understand that what I'm talking about here today is healthy situations. We're talking about healthy parental guidance. I like to use the illustration. We have to talk about what things should be. And oftentimes in the church, it's hard because we don't want to talk about some things because it might hurt someone's feelings who went through a bad time. And that is understandable. But we also have to talk about what it should be. We have to talk about how it should be so people will know how they're supposed to live. If I decided that I didn't want to drive in Dallas anymore because there are some drivers in Dallas who don't do it right, then I wouldn't drive anywhere. But I also need someone to show me how I should drive so that maybe I understand that that's not the way to do it, and then I drive healthy. So this morning we're going to talk about healthy parental guidance. And some of you are like, okay, I'm kind of old for that. Hang on, you're going to like where I'm going with this. James Corden is a comedian. He's on a late night show. He's a late night show host. He's been in the news a lot lately. Apparently, he and his wife, went to a restaurant a couple of weeks ago, ordered some food, and it didn't turn out like they were expecting. So this is Corden's version of the story. The first plate came out and it had egg whites in it, and his wife was allergic to egg whites, so he asked them to bring appropriate meal, appropriate thing that didn't have egg whites. And when it came back, it had salad instead of fries. And his perspective was he complained to the server about having to wait for two times for the meal. The restaurant in New York City, said this is the rudest customer they have ever experienced. Now, that's saying something because they're in New York City. So then things just went way out of control. He said this, the restaurant said this, Finally, the New York Times comes in and does an article about his side of the story. And the restaurant comes in and says, "You're banned. You can't ever come to this restaurant again." And just when it seemed there was no impasse, Corden is having a conversation with his father. And his father told him this: "Well, son, you did complain, so maybe you should explain." And as a result of that conversation, according to Corden, he went on national television. I don't know if anybody watches this show. Never seen the guy before in my life. But he went on national television. He apologized for what he said to the server. And he said, "I hope that the restaurant will lift the ban so I can come back and apologize in person." Now, what is unbelievable about that story isn't this. Or this is what it isn't. What is not unbelievable about that story is some person who's a personality, who's a popular person, who's on the radio or whatever, goes into a restaurant and complains because their food isn't right. That's not spectacular. It happens all the time. Nor is it spectacular that a restaurant in New York City had a customer complain about their service. Not spectacular. Nothing crazy about that. What's strange is that the solution to the problem came from Corden's father. And why that's so strange is because we live in a postmodern culture. We live in a culture that says anything foundational, anything that's supposed to speak of truth, anything that's supposed to say this is how things should be, is disregarded. Parents, police, teachers, any kind of authority that would come into a person's life and say this is how you should do something is disregarded according to this culture. And that's what's so shocking about this story, because in this situation, Dad was the one who solved it. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is parental guidance. But I understand completely that I am talking to you about a concept that is completely different than what our culture is saying. Completely antithetical. And so what I want to do is we're going to approach, see what does the Bible has to say about this, and we're going to talk about how do we apply this in a way. But I know in the back of my head the whole time, I know what I'm up against. I'm telling you to go this way, and everything in the culture is going this way. I'm telling you that you should walk this direction, and everything around you, the news, the stories that you hear people talk about, even many of your friends, they're all going the other direction, saying that parental guidance is not something that needs to be listened to or handled. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to return to our series in the book of Proverbs, if you have your Bible with you, and invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Now, if you're trying to find Proverbs in a physical Bible, if you open up in the very middle, that's probably Psalms. Go a little bit to the right and you're in Proverbs. I'm going to continue to encourage you week after week to bring your Bible. And the reason I'm doing that is because I am convinced that it's going to be very powerful for you to read the words on your page of your Bible that's in your hands, even if it's digital. Okay, I'm going to be very convinced. So if you didn't bring your Bible tomorrow morning, that's okay. There's a Bible in the seat back in front of you. You can pull one out of there, that's fine. You can look at it there. But I'm convinced that there's some power when you're looking at a text in front of you that you can see and feel and touch, and then you take that text home and you, you'll carry it with you throughout your life. So Proverbs chapter 1, most people believe, and as do I, that this section of Proverbs is written by Solomon to his literal biological children. And so that's the conviction that I have, and that's what how I'm going to present that to you. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, and Proverbs chapter 1 is a section where Solomon is talking to his children about some things that he wants them to do. And specifically in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, Solomon talks about why his children should listen to parental advice. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 8 and 9. And what we're going to see here this morning is that parental guidance is punishment. Parental guidance is preparation so that you may be polished and praiseworthy. Parental guidance is punishment. We're going to start off with that. And even just as I'm saying, parental guidance is punishment, and as I hear those words echo throughout this room, I'm thinking, wow, that's not really a good thing to be saying, especially because it's going to go online. You know, punishment? Punishment is a bad word in our culture. There are people, a lot of people, who say, Mom, Dad, you have no right to tell your kids how they should or should not do things. You have no right to do that. That's out there. And you certainly have no right to punish your kid when they don't do what you want them to do. So I understand that what we're talking about here is countercultural. Countercultural. But it's also in the Bible. First part, the first colon in verse 8 says this: My child, listen when your father corrects you. My child, many people, and I'm of this conviction as well, that this indicates that this was Solomon who was speaking to his biological children. My child, listen. Now, the word literally in the original language is an imperative, and it says to hear. But that's kind of a weird way for us to think about that in English, so we translate it, listen. But the problem is when we do that, listen kind of comes over a little bit, like, softly. And that's not what the terminology here. It's like, hear this. It's an imperative. So Solomon is telling his kids, not, hey, listen to your music and listen to what I'm saying. He's not saying that. He's saying, listen. It's an imperative. Listen when your father, context here, biological father, corrects you. Now, this term here is most often translated discipline or punishment. It can mean correction, but it has that idea of when a child has done something wrong and the father, in this case, steps in and disciplines this child for when they've done something wrong. And so Solomon is saying to his children, listen. It's an imperative. Listen when your father, in this case him, disciplines you, corrects you, punishes you. Parental guidance is punishment. Now, nobody likes to be punished. Nobody likes to be punished. Punishment is not something fun. Nobody likes doing it. Nobody likes having it done to them. And because of what's going on in our culture, you have this concept like punishment that people are uncomfortable with, and then we're in our culture saying you shouldn't do it anyways. Punishment has been virtually erased from our culture. But I noticed something when I walked in this morning. You all are sitting in the wrong side of the sanctuary. You guys are all supposed to be sitting over there. Didn't we talk about this already? And you guys over here, there aren't a lot of you, but you guys over here are supposed to be sitting over. I don't know why you guys are sitting in the wrong spot. And you guys in the middle, you guys are not any better. You guys are all supposed to be over here, and all of you guys are in the wrong spot. All of you are. As a matter of fact, your punishment is this week, next week, can't come to church. Can't come to church, none of y'all. I'll be here, and I'll just preach to myself. It'll be okay. Okay, that's kind of silly. Nobody likes being punished. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes being punished. And if you've had an opportunity to be a father, or you've had an opportunity to be a mother and you've had children, you don't like doing punishment either. But there's a lot of value which we're going to talk about in the next verse. There's a lot of value to punishment. Right now, I just want you to get this theory that Solomon is telling his kids, listen when your parents punish you. Listen to what's being said by that punishment. That's critical. And I understand that I'm asking you to go a totally different direction than the culture here. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want you to stop for just a moment, no matter how old you are, no matter how old your parents are, whether your parents have passed, I want you to do something real quickly. I want you to think of five things that your parents did well. Think of five things that your parents did well, five redeeming qualities of your parents. Now, it may seem a little bit strange, like, where are you going with this? You'll see in a second. But I just want you to think of five things that your parents did well. I sat down this week and I thought of five things about my parents. Okay, just five things. It's actually pretty easy to do when you think about your parents. My mom thinks I can do no wrong. Every week she watches this and she says, that was the best sermon ever. Okay, my mom just thinks I can do no wrong. And my brother and sister, she's not partial. She thinks we're all can do no wrong. My dad would give life and limb for any one of his kids. And probably a stranger. He's just that way. He would do that. Like, that's just his nature. He will do that. My mom can talk to anyone. If my mom ever visits here, she will talk to all of you. If you don't have anyone to talk to, she will talk to you. She just loves talking to people. My dad loves the church. He served the church ever since he became a believer when he was a teenager. Just real quick, five things that your parents have redeeming qualities of your parents. Just think of them. Five things that you can name that your parents have done well. They're not perfect. My parents aren't perfect. I'm perfect, especially with my son sitting right over there. But most parents are not perfect. I understand that. But what are five redeeming qualities of your parents? And I just want you to remember that I understand. The reason that I'm getting you to put that in your mind is because I understand that what I'm asking you to do is to go countercultural. So right now, in your mind, five things that you know your parents did a pretty good job with. So, parental guidance is punishment. And then the next part of that colon, parental guidance is preparation. Look with me at the second part of verse 8. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Don't neglect. Don't put it off. Don't forsake. Don't throw it away. Don't forsake or neglect your mother, here your biological mother's, instructions. Her directions or her, actually the word here is Torah, which is law. So it's not saying the law that your mom put down, but your mom is giving you instructions about how to live. Don't forsake those things. Listen to what your mom has taught you about how to live. I need to take a little bit of a sidebar here, and I need to tell you a little bit about Hebrew poetry, because these kind of verses are often mistranslated. There are two general, in Hebrew poetry takes advantage of something called parallelism. And parallelism generally means that the first line has some relationship to the second and sometimes third and fourth line. Those are called colons. And in Hebrew parallel poetry, the first line says something similar or is in a similar relationship to the second line. And there are two broad categories of Hebrew poetry. There is complementary and there is antithetical. Complementary means the second line adds to the meaning somehow of the first. Antithetical means the second line says something opposite. So, don't go play basketball, play soccer. Okay? So, of this verse that we looked at, verse 8, it is which one? Complementary, right. It's complementary. They're saying they're adding to it. And the important thing to understand here is that what this verse is saying is listen to your fathers and mothers. It's adding to it. Listen to your father and mother and listen to their correction and instruction. This verse is not saying you only have to listen to your dad's correction and your mom's instruction. Not what it's saying. It's saying listen to your parents and listen to their instruction and correction. It's all together. But the whole point of this second part here is that Parental guidance is preparation. They're saying this being said to the people in preparation for what is to come. And a lot of us, we don't think about this often, but we have learned a lot from our parents about how to do things. We've already learned a lot from our parents. This morning, if you would think about it, all the things that you did this morning, most of those were probably taught to you by your parents. Your parents probably taught you either by example or by instruction or by correction. They taught you about how to turn off an alarm clock, how to get out of bed, how to brush your teeth, how to make sure that you eat breakfast, how to read the newspaper, how to read the Bible, how to study. Whatever you did this morning, a lot of those things were things that your parents taught you when you were growing up. And we just do them all the time. We don't think about it. But our parents did things to prepare us for the future. Parental guidance is preparation. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that there is a switch on the front of you in the pew in front of you. There's a little switch. If you leave it in the middle, you're going to get a slight electric shock in your backside. So you can't leave it in the middle. You got to choose one way or the other. Okay? So one way is, in the past, when you were rebelling against your parents or you didn't do what your parents had to say, more often than not, the problem is that your parents had nothing good to say. If that's really what was going on, turn the switch to the left. Or you can turn the switch to the right and say, more often than not, I was just being rebellious. So I want you to think about it. Think your own life up to this point, and think, if you think back to the times in the past where you didn't listen to what your parents had to say, where you didn't take parental guidance, I want you to think about it and say, more often than not, the problem was, to the left, my parents didn't have anything good to say. Or to the right, I was just being rebellious. And the point is I'm trying to get you to think through even our own conduct and even the stuff that we've done in the past that has gotten us to this point right now. Some of it was actual preparation by our parents for us. And oftentimes we resisted it, but it wasn't because they didn't have anything good to say. It was just because we were being rebellious. Parental guidance is, first of all, punishment. Parental guidance is, second of all, preparation. And then what's the advantage of following it according to Solomon? Look with me at verse 8-9. It says, when you learn from them, or what you learn from them will crown you with grace and will be a chain of honor around your neck. Verse 8, what you learn from them, what you learn from their correction, what you learn from their instruction, what you learn from them will crown you with grace, or will be a graceful crown. It's a physical rendering of something, and the idea of grace here is favor. It's an idea of being polished, of having composure. It'll be it's an idea of favor and grace. What you learn from them will be a grace around crowned on your head. That's something that people will be able to look at you and see, ah, that person has grace. Next part of the next colon says, it will be a chain of honor around your neck. And so we don't have a clear understanding of what this is for sure referring to from Solomon, but it sounds like he's talking about some kind of a chain or pendant that was worn by a person that would be an honor to them, be it that it maybe identified their family that they were a part of or identified their status in society, but something that people would see and would see that's honorable, that there's something honorable about them. And the idea here is that if you listen to the instruction and correction of your parents, the benefit is that when people look at you, they say, ah, that person is graceful. That person has honor. That person is polished. That person is praiseworthy. And that's the idea that Solomon is trying to, and you can see the idea why Solomon is saying, listen to what your mom and dad are telling you to do, because this helps you be polished. This helps you be praiseworthy in the world. And so the thing that I want you to do here is I want you to really slow down and I want you to think. I'm asking you to be countercultural. I'm asking you to go against culture. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you this week for at least a half an hour to sit and listen to your parents. Now, a couple of ways you can do that. One is if you are at home or if your parents are still are in the area, go sit down with them, take them out for coffee or whatever, sit down and just listen to them. If your parents live far away like mine do, get on the phone and call them and talk to them. If you're in a situation where your parents have passed, then here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to sit, take some time, and sit and think about the things that your parents have told you in the past. And all the while this conversation is going on, I want you to think in the back of your head, why are they saying that? Why are they saying that I should do this? Why are they saying that I should do this? And just ask. And here's what I think you're going to find. You're going to find that your parents have a genuine desire that you would be polished and praiseworthy. Your parents have a genuine design that you would be a person who is functioning in society well. That's their genuine desire. May not be perfect people, but they have a genuine desire to see that happen for you. So we've posed the question, why should we listen to parental guidance? As we've worked through this passage, we've seen that parental guidance is punishment. It's not fun, but it's the reality of it. It's also preparation for ahead. And it can make us polished and praiseworthy. There are two brothers in the news a lot lately who exemplify the two extremes. Prince William, for the most part, has been a person who has, for most of his life, attempted to live according to the parental guidance he's received. His mother passed away when he was younger, so someone else stepped into that role. But when you think about Prince William, think about him as having been a person who, for the most part, has tried to follow the parental guidance that he's been given. And as you look back at his life and as you look at him, not that we would want him to be our king, but like, you know, if somebody's going to be the next king, he'd be the guy. He seems polished. He seems praiseworthy. He seems like a person who could do that. And you could see where his parents would have said something like Solomon said, like, listen to what's going on around you because someday you might be king. His brother, on the other hand, not so much. Even stories early on, and I've heard stories, and the kingdom tries to keep these under wraps, but for the most part, Harry has not really tried to pursue parental guidance. He's been a little bit on the rebellious side. Super nice guy, I'm sure he is. I'd love to meet him. If you're watching this, come visit me. It'd be great to meet you. I'm sure he's a super nice guy. But as you look at his life, you don't look at his life and say, that's a polished guy. That guy is praiseworthy. You don't really see that. A lot of the news articles about him right now are just discouraging. And there are two examples of people who really exemplify in many ways what Solomon is trying to get at here. If you listen to the parental guidance, it'll help you be polished and praiseworthy. Listen to the parental guidance. I hope you'll be polished and praiseworthy. And so I've kind of challenged you this morning. It's very countercultural. I know I'm asking you to do something that's countercultural. And the thing that I'm challenging you with first is just think of five things, five positive characteristics of your parents. And then I challenge you to say, okay, the times in the past where I've been kind of rebellious, I've gone and fought against my parents, was it because they really had nothing to contribute? Or was it because I was just being rebellious? And then I'm challenging you this week to spend about a half an hour sitting and either talking with your parents or sitting and pondering what your parents probably would have said or what your parents did say. And as you're thinking about those things that they're saying, I want you to ask in the back of your mind, why would they say this? So my challenge for us is that I want us to become people who are countercultural, going against the flow of the way that our culture normally does things. And that's going to take some work. It's not something that we can do easily. It's not something that we can do without a little bit of work. So I know it's going to take some work. Think of five things. I'm going to turn the switch and spend about a half an hour talking to or thinking about your parents.
Thank you, Pastor Pastor Forrest. As we think about parental guidance, I want to encourage you this morning as we begin to close out just to turn our thoughts towards our Heavenly Father, who is the ultimate parent, amen. And I remember when my first son was born, holding him for the first time and just like giggling with joy. And I'm not a giggler. This is about as much laughter as you see out of me a lot of times, but I was overcome with this thought, like, this is what the love of the Father is. And I have a great relationship with my earthly father, but I really, really got it for the first time. And I think through all this instruction this morning, God is calling us to understand who He is and how He loves us, and that's what this next song is about. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears. They laid Him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. I encourage you to stand and sing this with us. And on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is Your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh Lord our God. Shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Amen. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
Oh, praise his name forevermore, for endless days. We will sing your praise, oh Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore, for endless days. We will sing your praise, oh Lord our God. No,
this morning. Amen.
The reality is this morning is that in a room this size, there are very likely some of you who are here this morning, and you may not have necessarily been in a place where you're in rebellion in terms of your relationship with your earthly father. But the reality is that you know that God loves you, and you are in a place of rebellion, if you will, to your heavenly Father. You know that God loves you. You know that he's been pursuing you. You know that he's been trying to get your attention. He's been trying to get after you. He's trying to get you into a right relationship with himself. But for whatever reason, you've run away from it. You know very well that the things that you're doing, the sins that you're doing, the stuff that you're doing that you know is wrong, and you're doing it anyways, is creating a chasm between you and him. And God saw that chasm. He knew how much he loved you, and he looked at that chasm and said, I'm not okay with that. I want to bring these people back into a right relationship with you, with himself. He wants to bring you back into a right relationship with him. Desperately. Not desperate because he's desperate, but he's willing to go to many lengths to bring you into a right relationship with him, into an intimate relationship with himself. He's very willing to do that. And I'm not telling you something that you don't know, because you're here this morning and you know he's been chasing after you. I just want to invite you, if you would, to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. If you're a believer here this morning, and you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, and you are in an intimate relationship with God, I just want you to take a few moments. Sit down if you need to. But I want you just to spend some time in prayer right now for those around you. But if you are here this morning and you do not have an intimate relationship with God because of your sin, in a few moments, I'm just going to pray a really simple prayer. There's nothing magical about the words I'll use. You can pray similar words back into your head to God, and he'll know what's on your heart. Maybe this morning should be the time where you quit running from the God that you know is chasing you. If you want to quit running this morning, just pray this prayer in your heart to God. Dear God, I know that you love me. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. And I know that you love me so much, you were willing to send Christ down to earth to die on the cross for my sin. I believe by faith that crucifixion paid for my sins. I invite you into my life. I want to be in an intimate relationship with you. In the few moments that we have remaining in this service, I just with every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, just to look up at me right now so that I can see. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, to worship you, to be among fellow believers, and to hear about one of the many ways that you are countercultural. Pray that you give us the courage and the strength this week to do the things that you're calling us to do. Not because we should, not because we must, because you have loved us so incredibly much, and it's the least that we can do. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. See you Wednesday.